Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Tran is here. Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Amezcua. Director Meeks. Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Green. You do have a quorum.
Okay. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Great. Now's the time for visitor participation. If anybody would like to address us on an item that's not listed on today's agenda within our subject matter jurisdiction, are there any hands? Seeing none, that brings us to the consent calendar, which consists of the meeting minutes from the last meeting. What is the pleasure of the committee?
I would move approval.
I will second the motion.
Great. We have a motion and a second. If you can call the roll.
Okay. Roll call. Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Great. That brings us to the updates. I've had a request to take things a little bit out of order and do the federal first. So we're going to kick that off with Mr. Saperstein.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you to the state folks for letting me talk first. I have a briefing that I have to coordinate and organize that I'll talk about for this update at high noon. I want to talk about 2 smaller issues, so to speak, as updates, and then the issue that forced me to ask for this change in order. The budget for FY24 goes to the Congress from the administration on March 9th. That's about a month behind schedule, but at the end of the day, it probably doesn't have any impact on how soon they get bills together, because they're going to continue debating the debt ceiling increase. One thing that is sort of evolving in the House is that committees have now reached the point where they are fully organized to conduct legislative business. And part of that legislative business will be efforts to reduce federal spending on the domestic side of the ledger, not the defense side. And that will have some kind of impact, most likely, on water-related program funding. But again, this is not going to really crystallize until probably November, December, again, as far as a final resolution. And there will be community project funding requests solicited again, otherwise known as earmarks. Senator Feinstein's office has already sent out a form for consideration by public agencies. Deadline is the end of March to submit a request. And we are working with the staff on what you may or may not want to pursue. And I'll just end by saying that you must temper your expectations, because there's probably a very strong likelihood that we go to a continuing resolution given the divided nature of Congress. And that would mean no earmarks coming through the system for FY24. The second thing I just want to highlight is the Waters of the United States rulemaking. The administration issued a final rule last week. I think this is the 20th effort to get this rule finalized over four administrations. As of this morning, on the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, which has jurisdiction over this issue, they have introduced a privilege resolution, Special Review Act, to take a vote to eliminate the rule and not have it implemented. That rule has, or that resolution has, 152 co-sponsors, including representatives from your area on the Republican side of the column. I would note that this is just a Republican initiative. There are no Democratic co-sponsors at this point. At the end of the day, because it needs both chambers agreement and a presidential enactment of the resolution, we view this as a messaging bill at this point. And then I would just add, the Supreme Court in June or July will decide whether or not EPA has the jurisdiction, as it believes it has, with respect to redefining Waters of the United States. So we're in a holding pattern, and this issue is probably not going to resolve itself for some time. Now, the reason that I am going first is many, many moons ago, the committee requested that we try and figure out a way to highlight the concerns with PFAS liability, as well as general treatment standards or maximum contaminant level standards in dealing with PFAS chemicals in water. We have succeeded at this point in putting together a group of individuals to convene a congressional briefing next Thursday, February 9th, in the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. The effort is essentially to educate congressional staff, not members, but the congressional staff at the committee level, as well as individual offices, on the concerns that agencies like OCWD have with respect to liability as well as treatment capabilities. We expect this to be an informative session, not necessarily coming out with any final conclusive results, but will actually help in the ongoing effort to deal with the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works that is, as we speak, currently trying to figure out a way to develop PFAS legislation for consideration in this session of Congress. Chair, I'll just tell you who we have lined up to speak so you know. Aside from past President Steve Sheldon, Dr. Linda Lee from Purdue, she is a distinguished professor in agronomy, talking about the science of PFAS. We have Miley Lono Batura, who is director of the Sustainable Biosolids Program for Water Environment Federation. We have Dan Hartnett from the Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies. And we will have either Tracy Meehan or one of his associates from the American Water Works Association, talking about PFAS and impacts on water agencies. And Dr. Sheldon will basically give a presentation on what PFAS impacts mean for local agencies on the ground, given Orange County Water District's unfortunate experience to date with PFAS contamination. Again, this is going to be an informative session as opposed to a bill drafting or anything else, and will set the stage to increase the knowledge as opposed to sort of the debates that have gone on over the past, well, several years on let's just impose liability through Superfund. So Chair Bildo, I'll stop there and answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, are there any questions for Eric?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. With the upcoming staff briefing, is there going to be a specific set of asks or requests laid out to the staff at the congressional level?
Yeah, excellent question. Sort of the punchline will be, if you're going to draft legislation addressing PFAS, you need to provide public agencies an exemption from liability first and foremost. And the reason that's important is because EPA's got this rule on the street that's trying to designate PFAS chemicals as hazardous substances under Superfund. So that's the first message, Director Tran. And the logic of that message is that you are already providing numerous exemptions under Superfund to innocent landholders, to people who are developing brownfields. These are abandoned industrial sites. You've provided exemptions for acts of God and what have you, and that agencies are just, it's a cumbersome word, but agencies like yourself are just passive receivers. They're not part of the problem. And we don't need to be in a situation where corporate entities that are responsible for the pollution are able to bring agencies into litigation to try and diminish some of the costs they would be liable for. At the end of the day, that's the big ask. The other ask, though, will be, look, it is going to cost buckets and buckets of money to treat PFAS. I think everybody's in agreement with that. And so what we really want to see is the federal government stepping up and say, one, we're going to provide money to enhance the development of cost-effective technologies to treat PFAS in the water column. And then the third point, Director Tran, is source control, source control, source control. That is the best way to deal with this pollution.
Very well, thank you so much.
Great, are there any other questions? Seeing none, this will go on the consent calendar at the full meeting. No action is needed. That will take us to the state legislative update.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You have Jason Gonsalves. I'll be brief. I have one bill to cover this morning. In large part, it's one bill because we're still awaiting the bulk of the introductions. As you may know, the deadline to introduce legislation is February 17th. Thus far, we've seen about 700, just shy of 730 bills. 400 plus are intent bills. So they're still awaiting the details or the actual substance of the bills to be amended into them. So we'll see another 1400 plus or minus between now and February 17th. So that said, we have a bill, SB 23, we're bringing before you. The recommendation is to support. The bill is being sponsored by AQUA, and it's to expedite the permitting process for agencies like the Department of Fish and Wildlife and others. We have been in contact with the author's office. We expect some additional language to go into the bill, but from what's in there now, it seems to reduce the regulatory process or burden on agencies like yourself, and the recommendation is to support. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Are there any questions for Jason? Director Tran, do you have any questions?
Yes, Jason, any anticipation either through the grapevines or from last year's legislative session that more regulations or restrictions legislatively will be introduced for this year? Just in anticipation.
Yes, I mean, as you, things haven't changed a whole lot, Director Tran, from your days in Sacramento. And I say that not to be flippant, but there's always talk of CEQA reform. There's always talk of streamlining of permitting. So we hear rumblings of such, but we haven't seen anything significant. I think we'll see more bills that will be agency specific or issue area specific, like SB 23 that I just mentioned for permitting. But as far as a major CEQA reform or something along those lines, we always hear about them. But I tell people CEQA reform's like heaven. We all want to go. We just don't want to die. So that's kind of where it's at.
All right. Wait and see.
Wait and see.
Thank you.
Let's see. So we do have two recommended actions of support on two bills. Would the committee like to take a position on those, a position of support? I'll make a motion to that effect. Maybe you'd like to second it.
I'll second it.
Great. Any further discussion on those or questions?
Only one minor issue for Jason, if I may bring this up. Is this a new or an old bill from previous legislative session? And whether there's any, there's always opportunities for amendments and changes, but do you anticipate any amendments that may change the, substantially change the entire nature of the bill that we cannot, because as you know, I just don't want to commit to a sponsorship or support of the bill now and then 2 months later, someone add a poison pill or a substantial amendment that would completely change the nature or content of the bill. Any concern for that?
Well, Director Tran, the first answer is all the bills last year, since it was sine die, did, if they did not pass, they died. So we're in the first year of a two-year session. So
of course,
it's a new bill. But that said, given the sponsorship being AQUA and your agency's participation from the leadership on down through AQUA, I think we're in a very comfortable spot to go with the staff's recommendation to support, and should we, and we'll keep you apprised of any and all amendments as they progress. But I expect the amendments will be helpful, and your association will have first opportunities to review those amendments.
Very well, thank you.
Okay, and I think Jason Eichert was actually going to do a little summary on the second bill, SB 30. So Jason, could you kick that off, please?
And I am going to make it very, very quick, because I don't want to slow you down. You've been on a roll. So this bill, AB 30, it essentially directs the Department of Water Resources to incorporate forecast-informed reservoir operations into their flood control and dam operations. OCWD supported a nearly identical bill, AB 2078, last year. This is sponsored by the San Diego County Water Authority and Scripps Institute of Oceanography. And as is noted in your packet today, it's entirely consistent with the district's ongoing support of forecast-informed reservoir operations. So that's why it's recommended for a support. And I'll stop myself there and answer any questions if you all have.
Great. Thanks for that summary. Makes perfect sense. If we don't have any questions, we have a motion and a second on the floor to support these two bills. Madam Clerk, if you'll call the roll.
Roll call. Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Great. That brings us to item 4, the GWS Final Completion Dedication Ceremony Update.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. Christina, if I may share my screen. Okay, have a brief update on the GWS Final Completion Dedication Ceremony. As has been mentioned, it'll be hosted April 14th, 2023. I know we talked last time around about these. We have extended some invitations to speakers, and our staff and consultants are following up on that. And as well as the program, depending on the speaker, but generally we'll have a presentation, a plaque unveiling, a toast, and then a lunch reception followed by facility tour. So that event will be from 11 to 1, so be sure to save the date for it. I went over last meeting in detail, but as a reminder, we are planning to have the event between in what we call the MF Breezeway, so that's between MF West and MF East, with a tent following behind it. So to date, we have sent out a save the date to 650 folks. Electronic save the date. It was sent on the 18th. We are gearing up to send out a formal invitation that we will send this month. And then we'll have an electronic kind of RSVP system so we can keep track of that and keep the committee apprised of attendees. We are anticipating there will be 400 people. We have secured a bit more money from some of our key vendors. So we do have $30,000 that will be put towards the budget. The rest will be cost shared by OC San and OCWD, and we do have budget for this event. So I will continue to keep the committee apprised. Happy to answer any questions about the event.
Okay, any questions?
Can you maybe give the committee an idea of what the overall budget would be?
Sure. Staff anticipates the overall budget would be $100,000. And, you know, we are going to have, that includes a lot of external vendors that will have AV, portable restrooms, many shuttles to help out with the parking area, catering. Those are the big items. But we do have money in the public affairs budget that was set aside, as well as money in the final expansion budget. And then, as I said, we're trying to, I think 30,000. I don't think we're anticipating any other sponsors come out, but that will help offset the cost to the agencies.
Thank you. Any questions on this informational item? Okay.
One very brief question. I'm sorry to be late. Is there a program program drafted up yet?
Good question, Director Tran. We do not yet have a program. Like you said, it'll depend on, you know, the speaker. So invitations have been sent out to Senator Padilla, Senator Feinstein, Governor Newsom, Vice President Harris. So depending on, you know, kind of who will speak, we'll formulate the program, and then depending on which other electeds as well. But we just anticipate kind of speaking from the high level officials, of course, a welcome on behalf of OCWD and OC San, an unveiling of a commemorative plaque on stage. We'll have GWS Water and do a toast. And that's generally what we have with the program. But again, we will firm that up as we get a bit closer.
All right, very well.
And just to add to that, Director Tran, is obviously we're sending invitations out to our entire congressional delegation, as well as at the state level also. So depending on who we can get at the event, as Gina said, will really determine the program and the number of speakers and who will be speaking.
Oh, right. I'm just referring to not only speakers, but obviously there has to be, and I'm sure there will be, a framework as to how the order of events within the program will go. And I wonder if there is such a framework or a skeletal framework as such.
We are working on that, and we'll be sure to have that at next month's meeting for you.
Very well.
Great. Any other questions on this item? Hearing none, that'll bring us to the Children's Water Education Festival update.
Thank you, Chair Billado. We have Crystal Nettles, who provide a brief update.
Thank you, Gina, and good morning, members of the committee. The Children's Water Education Festival, as you know, is a structured water education field trip that is open to third, fourth, and fifth grade students in Orange County from public, private, charter, and homeschools. This year will mark the 26th anniversary of the festival and our return to an in-person format since 2019. During the festival, it is a structured education program where students travel as a class to six presentations throughout the day. And those presentations are hosted by OCWD as well as public, private, and nonprofit organizations. It will be held March 29th and 30th at UC Irvine. And that date was chosen to align with UCI's spring break. Currently, there are just over 5,500 students registered to attend from 208 classes and 23 cities in Orange County. All of our ward service areas are represented. And as we get closer to the event, we'll actually have sort of a schedule should any directors want to attend the event and meet any of the classes there. We do prepare the schedules right before the event, since class numbers are always changing and occasionally students may need to cancel or we bring in a waitlisted class. We are continuing to reach out to schools and teachers. We have sent confirmation emails to those who have previously applied, and we also opened up the bus funding application. The festival is free to attend for schools. However, it is up to the individual schools to get to and from festival, but we are able to offset the cost of bus transportation to those who need it based on sponsorship. Next slide, please. There are currently 29 presenters registered to attend, and actually I just got a confirmation that SARBS is also going to be presenting, so that will be 30 presenters, and that number continues to grow as well as we continue to reach out to some of our past presenters as well as new ones. Next slide. There are currently 36 volunteers registered to assist at festival. This is comprised of OCWD staff, company, and community groups, excuse me, as well as individuals. We do continue to solicit volunteers. We sent out an e-blast on Tuesday, and we've also posted it to some online volunteer sites. We're also working with UCI to help recruit from within the school. Slide, please. In terms of sponsorship, we are continuing to see sponsors come in as well. Black & Veatch, Butier, El Toro Water District, Irvine Ranch Water District, Mesa Water District, OC San, OC Stormwater, Olin, as well as SARBS, our current sponsors, which we could not be able to do the event without them. In terms of next steps, we will continue researching and reaching out to schools, presenters, volunteers, and sponsors for about the next month or so. We are going to be confirming all of the logistical needs and ordering supplies for ourselves, as well as some of our presenters. And we are hosting ongoing meetings with UCI as well as James Events. And we are working with the UCI Strategic Communications Office, as well as their Sustainability Center, which is new this year. So we're really excited to have more UCI involvement, and we hope that leads to really good things. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions from the committee members about the festival? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is the Public Affairs Outreach Report for January.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. I just have a few highlights to share regarding January public outreach. So we continue to have tours, both in person and virtual, depending on the request of the group. And we do continue to get a lot of hits on our tour video. So we have a nearly about 30-minute video with Mike that is a more technical tour, and then a 10-minute general tour. So we've seen over 10,000 views combined on those videos. Featured here in the on the photo here, this was the reception that President Green mentioned that was hosted on Tuesday evening between San Diego and Orange County water leaders, welcoming and congratulating Adan Ortega. So we've had about 130 folks who attended that reception. And then we do, we have concluded now, I think today is probably our last post. We did conduct a really robust GWRS anniversary social media campaign. So hopefully those of you who follow us on our channels have enjoyed seeing some of those current and historical photos and videos and quotes and testimonials by staff and directors. And then we also launched this week, we distributed a 15th anniversary edition of the newsletter as well. So highlighting that important GWRS milestone. The month of January, we did get quite a few media hits, and that was largely due to we had a lot of inquiries regarding the storm and OCWD's great work with the Corps to capture stormwater. So Greg Woodside was featured on some of those interviews. And then yesterday, I just sent out we did have a couple more media hits. One of them included Mike and Director Sheldon, featured in the February edition of Orange Coast Magazine. For our social media, you know, LinkedIn continues to be one of our fastest growing channels, does have a strong presence. And so just wanted to feature a couple of our top performing clips that were from LinkedIn. This was one of the storms that Greg was interviewed for and talked about how much water we captured. And then on the right, there's a Twitter post, again, part of the GWRS milestone campaign. A look ahead on February 7th. We are going to have a webinar featuring Mike and OC San General Manager Jim Herberg. And that will be a webinar about the partnership and about, you know, the OC San board setting the 100% recycling goal and kind of how the two agencies work together to complete these big milestones. Then as Crystal mentioned, the festival, April 14th, the final completion. June 14th does mark OCWD's 90th anniversary. So we will have a commemorative smaller event to celebrate that. And then into the summer, because we're not inviting staff to that April 14th event, we are planning to host jointly with OC San just a lunchtime event for our employees to celebrate such a huge accomplishment, completing the final expansion. And then fall of 2023, in October, we're hoping to once again host the Orange County Water Summit. Staff is still kind of finalizing research on venues, and I should be able to bring a report to the committee next month. And then we are looking at planning once again a groundwater adventure tour in person. It's been a couple years since we've done one of those, but we are planning to do that in the fall. And that concludes my report. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Any questions?
One very brief question, if I may. In terms of the hits, you know, we're getting reports on that, and I appreciate the numbers. Is there any further detail on the internet hits? You know, how long people stay on to watch, say, or view the website or our links? And do we even know where they're coming from? Are there any further details or data on that?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have further details, and I'd be happy to, we brought that last month, but I'd be happy to bring a more detailed report to next month's committee meeting. We definitely can take a look at our top pages and where the traffic is coming from in the U.S. or globally.
Very well. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll place all these items on the consent calendar for the February 15th meeting. Are there any director's announcements or reports at this time? Seeing none, any general manager's announcements?
If I could just take a moment, I would like to share something with the committee. Can you see the screen that popped up there?
Yes.
Seeing that I don't do this very often, you're going to have to bear with me. Bear with me longer. There it is. So I just wanted to share this. As Gina mentioned, we're coming to the end of our little media campaign celebrating the 15 years of being online with GWRS, and so this was something that went out. I think did we post this on social media, Gina?
We have posted most of this content on social.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so but what I wanted to do is go back a little bit and look at what we had done in the past. And there may not be too many directors that recognize this photograph. I think maybe Director Bilodeau would. This is the old Water Factory 21. And in fact, in the upper right-hand corner is our current administration building. This is where right now we have the microfiltration area, but this is what it looked like back in probably about 2000. Facility was built in the late 70s, and we tore it down to make way for GWRS. But this is a picture of the groundbreaking for the groundwater replenishment system. And you'll see a very youthful looking Director Bilodeau right there in the middle of the picture. And this was a number of board members from both OCWD and OCSAN at the time. Going from left to right, Director Jan DeBay, OCWD, Director John Collins. John was on the OC SAN board at that time. Of course, Pickler, Director Pickler, OCWD, Director Bilodeau. Steve Anderson was on the board of OC SAN at that time. I'm not sure who that's an OC SAN director, but I'm not sure who he is. Of course, next to him is Director Phil Anthony, OCWD, and Shirley McCracken, who was on the OC SAN board at the time. So this was the original groundbreaking for the original project. At the end of that project, we had a dedication, and the dedication was out in the back. We had, at that time, Assemblymember Mike Duvall. Well, I don't know whether Mike was in the assembly yet or not, but Mike Duvall was certainly on OC SAN's board. Jim Silva, who I think was in the assembly at that time. Hiding behind the pipeline is our own director, Steve Sheldon. And then at that time, Senator Dick Ackerman and Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez. On the right, there again, Director Phil Anthony, Jim Ferryman from OC SAN. And we should all recognize this good-looking gentleman over here is Assemblyman Member Van Tran. who attended the ceremony as well. As far as the groundbreaking, this was for the initial expansion, and we had Don Bankhead, Kathy Green, Herb Pickler, Kay Barr, Roger Yeo, Claudia Alvarez, Phil Anthony, and there again, Director Dennis Bilodeau. We had this is the dedication now for the initial expansion, and we had a few board members, and it looks like a number of assembly members. At the time, Roman Reyna was a representative from Santa Ana. That's a picture of Phil, Kathy Green, of course, and Dennis Bilodeau, right in the middle. John Morlock.
Matt Harper.
And, why am I blanking?
That's Travis Allen.
Travis Allen. Thank you very much. That was... So they attended, and then we had this is the groundbreaking for the final expansion, and without going through all of those people, those are all representatives from both boards, probably definitely more OC SAN than OCWD, but I think I pick out Director Bilodeau right there, Director Yeo, Director Green, Director Rowe. Am I going to skip someone? At that time, Director Sarmiento was on the board.
That was Director Rowe 1.0, by the way.
Director Rowe 1.0?
Yes.
actually, 2.0.
2.0. That's right. This is for the expansion.
Right. So we had Ben Sarmiento, Jordan Brandman, Steve Sheldon. And I think all the rest are OC SAN. So I just wanted to kind of throw that a little walk down history, taking a look at all the different events that we've done throughout the last 15 years. And then we had a celebration in the boardroom with the employees. I think we had donuts and coffee and really a nice event, and being able to acknowledge all those employees that have worked over the past 15 years on the project. So I just wanted to share that. That was it. And I look forward to a real exciting final expansion dedication. I think that we'll get a lot of people. Hopefully we'll be able to get some high level elected officials, the governor hopefully, or some others. They seem to be out here all the time. I was watching the news last week, and I think the vice president and Senator Padilla were up in the San Fernando Valleys looking at some recharge basins. So they do come down here quite a bit. So we're going to put on the full court press. We've got Eric and Jason and everyone working on that. The unfortunate thing is, a lot of times you don't know, maybe up until the last few weeks before the event, whether they're able to lock in on that date or not. So we'll continue to pursue that. And that was it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Fantastic. Thank you for that update, Mike. And unless there's any other questions, this meeting is adjourned.
Very good job on the names, Mike.
I just wanted to add something. Director Bilodeau, you're still young looking. Don't worry.
I don't know. I got this thing going on. I don't know. Male.
Well, and what's interesting is once we unveil the final plaque, I think there's only going to be one name that's on all six of the plaques.
That's right. Don't forget it.
And that would be Director Bilodeau. So
that's right.
That's longevity for you.
Yeah, or meantime, I'm stuck. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.